whatever may be presented at any given moment of time, and not being a participant, but an observer caught in it. This is what happens to people. We have to go back all the way to Betty Winch, who is now Mrs. Jackson, and remember that Betty was the connection by letter regarding Moholy. And I immediately wrote on Moholy. You see, Moholy was able to give some information that went right back to one of the countering phrases that made Mr. Jackson know that I'm exactly who I say I am. Jackson threw around some addresses. Now, does it take a servant of God to be necessary for you to have information? No. It is just that each one of you, or as a whole, don't have the information, and things that are said or done would pass you. But he threw in some addresses of some places. And he wanted to know the intrinsic value of this particular address one day on his phone. Right. Well, it's no big deal, except that that happened to have been the Israeli embassy and one of the major Israeli operations around. And he got the point without any big to-do about it. But we got the name Moholy out of their files, you see. Now, doesn't that make your skin crawl to think that you are in the major files of your own CIA working with the Mossad of the Embassy of Israel in Chicago yet? So the intrigue and the connections are unfathomable to you, the people. And yet, if you can keep pushing along together with the valid information, you're going to get a lot of invalid input. You're going to get the intentional invalid input, which are the distractions and the disinformation people. But out of all of it, once you have begun to be able to sort, it begins to fit and fit and fit. And we must always be very grateful for those connections that were made, and they were made like through Betty Winch, who had somehow heard about Moholy's plight and was both writing to him and asking others. You know, just to support, they were being pretty hard on him in that prison where he was. Well, I guess so. How would you like to be in Bill Clinton's shoes today, or Tucker's shoes? Because you have pulled them down. Now, that may make you uncomfortable, but the more people who know about these things that they tried to kill people over, like the Larry Nichols and the Terry Reeds and the Michael Moholys. And yes, Ron Jackson dove off in there. And yet you still have to try to figure out where he is and who he is. But if he doesn't do anything else worthy the rest of his entire life, a lot of connections were made through that routing. And we are always appreciative for those things. So we always have to bless those who come and slip, actually. I wouldn't want to be in George Green's shoes. But I can certainly appreciate his contributions. And he keeps making them. He's going to win the next case. For us. Because he's helped the opposition to the point he's going to get thrown out of court as a witness. He's a liar. But it's painful. His lies have also cost us a relationship with Wendell Hoffman, which is painful. Because he has said that Wendell's family is going to join with him to pull down the Institute. And this is painful to Wendell. And Valerie, I please need the reference letter. If you would make a notation to ask Karen to please find that. Because there is a letter where he has named Wendell Hoffman's family. And Wendell says he has a copy of it. He doesn't want to face it. But we have come a long way, baby. And it ain't in cigarettes. It is amazing. And yet we have to look back just the few months, the few weeks ago, that Moholy was angry at you. What was happening? You've turned against him. Nobody turned against him. His stuff was interrupted. He wasn't sending things out. And if all of his things are absolutely truthful, wonderful, if they're not, so much is being opened up out there that even the interrogators in Washington, D.C. are saying the lies are making us sick. And look at the bailout, the jump ship of Congress people. You can tell by what they're doing, they expect it to collapse in their faces.
That's true.
And we appreciate knowing. And we appreciate what Betty did. And we appreciate the connections. And if we bumble along here and we make errors, it doesn't lessen the appreciation for the gifts they've given and shared with us. The connections with Snell and the ability to publish Fire from the Sky by One Who Knows, that is now a personal friend of Mary Snell. And it becomes really important that we not forget these people like Mary. We need to jot a note to them every now and then and say, we remember you, we love you, and as soon as we can, we will help you. Let's not let Richard Snell have died in vain. And he had a lot of wrong ideas. It's okay. It is really, really okay. Just don't let him go bite the neighbors. He deserves his supper. He deserves a piece of cake is what he deserves. To heck with supper.
Give him supper.
Truth is going to work its way up. It's like anything lost in entropy. It will finally work its way to the top of the heap when least you expect it and when least you're prepared to handle it. And when you've got so much garbage you have shoved down, it is going to boil up. And as ones can get brave enough and we can support them and give them enough publicity so that it's not easy just to bump them off, even if their entire tale is not truth, it causes others to be brave enough to come in with their truth. And we have to remember that we must work on the overall. If we allow our existence to be totally established by the little distractions, no matter how big they may seem at the moment, we won't have our job ready. And you parents are going to be held accountable by your children. Because you have one last opportunity of souls in the gulf that will be birthed onto your planet in order to give you the opportunity of souled beings to make an involvement. And if your parents didn't serve you well enough, and you as parents failed to serve your children with knowledge and truth, you haven't a prayer. Because it only takes three generations. And ones will say, well, why is it that we're so old? Why did you wait till we're so old and tired? Because you weren't smart enough before. And you've got to have people that can see from personal experience where you are and what once was. And then when you realize that by the time you even had any belief system going, It was already done, wasn't it? But you can at least look back there and remember when maybe the light switch didn't do anything or wasn't there. And if you needed to go potty, you maybe had to go out a trail to an outhouse. And there wasn't any television set, remember? All of you who have 15 sets in your house, there weren't any as early as 1940. Yes, by 1949 it was an unusual thing and people gathered to watch the wrestling. So in a lifetime, look what you have been able to experience. And these children know nothing of that. And daily it is drummed out of their little minds as they're caused to forget and accept whatever comes. And God has opened, and I don't know anything else to call it than Guff. That's its name for souls, the place of souls. And there becomes a finite number. And you're down to them. And especially those that He is willing to offer again on your altar of destruction. Because you've gone too far. It's not as easy as just reclamation and go. In your place, on your stage, you've gone too far. There has to be a cycle change. And how that will take place is all that's up for question. There will be changes. Obviously, from day to day, there are changes. So it will happen. It may be gradual enough that you don't perceive it. You may be mesmerized enough that you don't recognize it. But change is all there is. For goodness sakes, let's move in the positive direction. And that means that our hearts link. Because it's not wise otherwise. Just look at the misery you have been saved by simply not having a group. Every now and then when you really feel down, think about it. You have something so much stronger than any group could ever be. Until you don't even know what to call it. There isn't any expression because all of the good words like family have been usurped into the evil side of living. And I don't even like the word living used there. Because it isn't life. It is an expression of mechanical operation. And ours doesn't need to be to judge those individuals. Ours is to keep our covenant with God and see to it that a remnant gets through here. And if the remnant can get through, mankind can be saved. It doesn't mean we will save mankind. It means that mankind is worthy of some kind of salvation. And I'm going to do it. And I'm going to bring every one of you who will come with me. I take it.
We're with you.
And now I'm going.
I'm coming.
We need these meetings. And yes, indeed, if ones are coming next weekend, we certainly shall work it in. We need these meetings. The people out there don't need to hear quarreling. Although they have to come to their own stance. So they have to know what goes on. Because this is their resource. And I'm not going to shirk my responsibility by saying, oh, well, you don't count. Because they count. Everyone who reads this paper counts. Everyone who listens to a tape counts. Everyone who believes in God counts. So they have to take the negative with the positive as we move along here, coming into a resolution to our confusion. Forgive me, Jeff. It takes inner recognition and resolution. Nobody can do it for you. And it doesn't mean that once you have the light, it's going to stay. Especially as you grow. But it's fine. It keeps you alert and questioning. And don't ever, ever, ever fail to question. Just be careful how and who you question. Because nobody can answer that question except you. So don't dump it on somebody else. How somebody else feels about Commander Hatton is absolutely valueless to you, except as a tool to help you equate this versus this. And don't confuse the human aspect with the etheric aspect. I don't like you to separate things into categories. But you see, the way that we must communicate during this period of time of growth requires this method of communication. And there is nothing unusual about this method of communication. Your heart system can produce it easy enough. And you will notice all this activity taking place in your skies and all the ships that are out there. Those are alien ships. They're there for the protection of the ground waves, intermingling with those harp waves until you ones can respond without blowing your planet up. And so when they have visible testing of those signals and that grid, especially over the mountain passes, we're going to be there. Now, that's just the way it is. And whether it'll be visible, we will be as visible as they make their visible. Theirs visible. These are energy waves that will produce cloud, vapor. And all you have to do is look up there to know they can also produce rain. So you know that there is an umbrella over you disallowing any rain to fall in your areas. And no, we are at this time not interfering, intervening, nothing. We're just sheltering you. And on that note, I'm going to take leave. Or in anyone have a question before I go?
I've got a question.
All right.
A lot of us have been wondering, you know, watching the night sky, and you look off to the east from here, you see, I guess it's Orion, and directly below that, there's a ship that appears to be rather close and strobing rather vigorously. And we wondered whose ship that is, and since they're called starships, are they in fact lined up in front of stars, or are they what has been perceived as stars throughout the years? And would you care to answer?
You will have a little bit of both. As we have moved through the periods of what you will classify as time, many of the ships are just stationary and would be perceived as the star or the planet or the whatever label you put on it. But having been unable to travel there and investigate, you're going to be lied to. And you're just simply going to have errors in the perception of what might be there. On the other hand, we have a lot of fun, and I'm not going to give away secrets, but that star that you're talking about, and then the one down below it, that one down below it is Daylene's or Diane's most favorite person. And I do have an entirely wonderful story to tell about this one. We had Theophilus who would come and speak with Diane, and she'd turn him off. And this one would come, and she would turn it off. And there is this commander, Utley. Only Diane flippantly called him Utley. And Utley says to us, "What is your problem? That's just one little girl." And Theophilus bowed to him and said, "She's yours now." So Utley came. And of course, just the touch or the intertwining of this energy is something that is totally unforgettable to anyone who ever experiences this. So he is going to shape Daylene up and make her meet her responsibilities. And so he puts all his guile into this. And we're all watching, you know, as she works circles around Commander Udley. But that's his ship. And she doesn't forget. And he's much easier to work with than was Theophilus. Theophilus is from old Asathenia. And old, then it became Athenia. And now it is Elis, which is Greece. So all of her roots go back there. And Theophilus was her teacher. And therefore this learned elder was too heavy for her. It frightened her. And of course in playing at hypnosis, in this sort of game playing, she went right back to old Athenia and Theophilus, and it frightened her badly. And she can deal with a younger commander called Utley. That's Utley's ship, of which now I am getting a lot of humor on my side. The other ship is very valid, very real. And that ship was my ship before I joined and we merged with the Phoenix, which was birthed out of the Bethlehem. And yet you will still have the ship that was called the Bethlehem, or is now recognized as a Bethlehem, and is a golden star. It is golden. It never varies. It does not pulse colors. And it is what we call the focus or the axis around which we space ourselves in this particular period of evolvement. The silver ship that will rarely move much. It will move around directly above your head, but it will be there year-round, very bright, very silver, very, very constant, is Cortans. He is communications director, if you will. And he will always be in your hemisphere. Day and night. Don't ever think just because daylight comes it changes the star locations. It changes what you can see. But if you could see in the daytime, he would still be there. Because what we do, according to the areas where we work, as our ship might set, and you are seeing it now, this beautiful thing that goes down quite early but is tremendous, and I think most of you are calling it, well, I don't know what you call it, Venus or Sirius or whatever you call it. That's our ship.
That's the Phoenix.
And when we go down out of your view, we immediately transfer to the east. So we will also be your morning star. And boy, do we have a bead on you guys. And this way, there is a whole cartel of ships that follow the opposite side of your globe. And you are surrounded. It would make you feel so comfortable if you could but see that. You are surrounded. And it's not going to be easy to do you in. And it will be easy to get you off if it comes to that point. I prefer we get our job done and reclaim something beautiful, recreate something wonderful. We don't have to go about destroying just to end the play. Did that answer your question or kill it? I have a tendency to beat it to death.
Thank you.
What time do you go down then?
We'll go behind your visible mountains maybe. Oh, what? 6:30 now?
Yes.
Up to the west?
Yeah.
Yes. We are unmistakable. We're all that you can see it quite early now and quite large, and we do change our location.
Okay.
that's to confuse all of you who say, well, no, it should be lower. On those days, we go a little bit higher. And we've been known to do that all season, just to confuse you and let your astronomers lie to you. Sometimes we'll be over the mountains back this way, and then we'll move over there. So things are happening, and they're happening right before your eyes. And when they happen within your mind, that's the glory.
It must be fun to watch these astronomers pull their hair out trying to figure out how you do that.
They go confer with the government and they don't tell you.
I told you you have scout crafts once in a while.
I'm sorry, scouts?
Scout
crafts. Absolutely. Many, many scout traps. Yes. Yes.
Could I slip one in about the polar variation that's been happening? Can you update us on that? Magnetic?
Well, this started when they started testing, and it's been projected to you so that you would not be shocked. You have two things that can happen. One is a polar shift, an axis shift. And that is gradually taking place as well, because you are off balance. And as different things happen to the globe itself, and there is shift of liquid and tectonic plates, etc., you will have and a lessening of your magnetic stability. You will have a tendency to begin to wobble or shift off. As your gyroscopic system begins to fail a little bit, and you cannot play with these electromagnetic fields and not have it affect your gyroscopic stability. And since they've been tinkering with this stuff, they have you off magnetic pole by about 8 to 12 degrees. And it's wobbling. But you can measure it. People can, with accurate equipment, can measure it.
Somebody called from Hawaii last Thursday, said that their plane's trying to land in Honolulu. The magnetic thing was off 28 degrees.
Well, see, that's even reaching farther, because over here, for instance, in the valley, Yucca Valley, around out in the Mojave Desert, it's running 8 to 12. But it is wreaking havoc. And you notice more airports having failures. Just keep alert. I don't know anything for you to do about it, but just keep alert and keep your preparations at hand so that you're not caught in a miserable situation. Any time that you can make it through the night, if you're in an earthquake situation, and get something that if it turns over, it doesn't start a fire, it goes out. You know, use reasonable care. And don't leave burning flames and candles if you go to bed, because you can start a fire. But for goodness sakes, it doesn't take much to have a warm blanket and a few things that will allow you to get through a night and into the next day, where you can restock and regroup and get together. And a lot of you will have forgotten. And I'm not going to give you any more information, but remember, preparations were made, are made, still structured, so that if you have massive catastrophe and need underground care and food and shelter, together we can do it. And enough said about it. We are ready. It may not seem you're ready, and every time I say prepare, there are thousands of people out there to hear this tape. I want you prepared. That doesn't mean that necessarily right here we're unprepared. Except that never do you seem prepared enough. Although Dharma says she can hardly wait for survival, because everything she owns or ever owned is in the survival kit. So you'll have a good time, at least for a few days. It doesn't have to be awful. And if you're not at war with this government, you're all right. We'll make it. And then when everything comes, what happens with the alcoholic or the drug addict? He has to get down to where there's nowhere, Lord, to go. It has to fall apart because man doesn't seem to hear. This globe will fall under 100% total control of Satan. And I think you'll agree you're about there.
That's right.
I know that you're thinking, well, Clinton's still running around. Well, who wants to be Clinton? Poor, perverted, little, scroungy man. I don't even qualify him as a man. I don't even qualify him as an ill-informed boy. You don't want those things. You want some of the privileges that those things appear to hold for you. Well, it's not what we want. As a matter of fact, you're going to find that what you want is nothing of this earth, or you wouldn't be working at it. But while we're here, we're going to take what we can and enjoy it. And we're going to enjoy it in such a way that if we find it necessary, we will walk right away from it and leave it for the next generation to figure out what are these little colored pieces of pottery. This one looks like a bird. It must be Dharma's living room. And maybe, just maybe, if we do it right, you can stick around and enjoy it yourself for a long time. And that's where I'm headed. I want to sit in some of those cushy chairs.
When is that
going to be? Oh, soon now. Imminent. Imminent. Of course. Where else am I going to get the cushy chair?
You won't have any such bad luck.
Oh, it's called good luck. Remember all those promises I made to you about winter fireplaces and tales? Well, you're going to have some to tell me.
Well, let's hope so.
We go back a long way, John. You've paid a great penance to be here.
I did.
Yep, you still are. But you're getting, I'm afraid it's going to pass.
Gee whiz, I'm trapped.
No, you're finally finding freedom. You've been trapped. God is freedom. God is freedom. Don't say anything. It'll just get you in deeper. Because I sit with a pen that marks the brownie points and demerits. Anyone else dare to ask me anything?
Give up.
Tell us one of those fireside stories.
She must know Roosevelt.
Don't call me she. And well, don't mention Roosevelt.
Franklin Delano.
Well, he wasn't the beginning of your end, but he was pretty powerful in the development of the end of everything you knew that could have been beautiful. One of those fireside stories, and Felix is gone. What has happened is that as you have come up in technology, I'm hoping that you ones are taking opportunity to watch these far-out programs. Some of them are so silly that, you know, it's a waste of time, but in amongst a lot of them, and the X-Files is doing a pretty good job of bringing some of the possibilities to your attention. That is because they have to get you ready for what's coming. Entire panic doesn't help them. They have to get you ready for what is the truth, because some are going to be knowing the truth, and the truth is getting out, and they know that it's not going to match what the brotherhood of God is going to bring. That can be called the brotherhood of human. When the young man said, "I am of man and I am of God," he spoke of human. That is the higher universal entity known as man. You come in species form. So off Mars you may have a species of human that may not match yours, but it will be a higher universal thinking being. with mind, with ability to reason. And believe me, they can all reason and think far, far in advance of you. Because any technology that you have had that will get you past your atmosphere has come from them. Now, they were smart enough not to give you the advanced thought system of propulsion. So you are still dealing with either nuclear types of energy, pulse systems, light systems, what we consider extremely crude systems, but do have the capability of getting from close planet to your location. And some out there have advanced far into thought transfer, translation. That is not an unusual thing to be able to do. It just seems like it to you. But it is teleportation and nothing more. It is disassemble, reassemble. And it's basically according to whatever you're trying to reassemble. That's why a ghost or a being, a vapor, when it does make its entry and it comes into pretty good manifest form from its holographic vapor programming, it will have clothes. Usually whatever it was last wearing. Or it will produce itself in something that you will recognize as a familiar entity. This is easily accomplished. It isn't mysterious, except that it's a mystery you don't understand yet. But you can film, and anything that can be filmed can be reproduced. That's why your motion pictures are so impressive to the mind. And you, as a viewing audience, do not know when it's real or fabrication. And if it happens to you in your dream state, it is as real, I'm telling you, as it is when it is happening in your waking state. It is a time of sorting and work for the brain, for the mind, to organize. And if that system is not given enough time to organize its data, you get very, very fatigued and unable to think well. Our most important work, for instance, is done between midnight and 4 a.m. Hour. This is why, and Jermaine is a stickler, anybody who works for Jermaine, if you continually be up past 10 o'clock, he is miserable with you. Now, if you are willing to serve him between 10 and then on, oh, you're a good kid. I just ask that you try to make that train. And the train comes through about midnight. And we laughingly call it that because, I mean, come on, if you have a schedule, you might keep it. And we do our work during your sleep hours because that's when you're not missed. And I don't care whether your sleep hours are daytime oriented or nighttime oriented. It doesn't matter to me. And an hour aboard craft doing your work is like 30 days. So we can cram a lot in. Some mornings you're tireder than others because right now there is so much to be done in stabilizing. And then on top of that, you've got all of this that needs to be done. Well, most of the things that you're seeing in your sky that are being pronounced as alien craft or not, they are from your own bases. It doesn't mean that the mechanism is not alien or the beings aboard are not alien. They have really crossed up the species until it's sick. Yes.
Are some of the ships that are out there, are they coming in from the future too?
from our future?
Your perception may be a future. Anything past this split second is future. So yes, you could perceive that also. And you're going to be living in more and more split time. And when I say split time, it is more that you're going to be living in this seeming reality, but you're going to become aware of these other realities. And that is a confusing state of affairs. So it certainly helps to be able to know what's going on. And by that, just know. You don't have to understand it yet. Just know that this seems strange, but I can get through this by just holding on to my stability. And if something happens that frightens you, give to it. Do not struggle against it. Pain and fear are warning signs. And I'm talking about this fright, this terror. There are two kinds of fear. One causes action or the ability to think. And you'll get this one from the history books. And one will cause you to run, fight, whatever, you know, the psychiatrist is going to tell you about it. But you will react from this kind of fear, or you will be totally immobilized by it. You don't want that kind of fear. Recategorize. Recognize when you're frightened and use your head. God is not going to save you. This young, beautiful model who was just murdered had also become a baptized, born-again Christian. How could this happen to her? Well, you don't go into the insane man's bedroom and pull off your clothes to be photographed. That's what I'm talking about. Don't do those kinds of things. You are also given a mind to act responsibly, carefully. Fear immobilizes and it's unreasonable, because if you have a connection with God, fear should not be part of it. But have a good, healthy fright. And if you have pain, check into the pain. If it's a headache, take an aspirin, for goodness sakes. But pay attention to what it is. It's time to wake up. You are in the future. You are in the past. You are coming into a waking state of realization. And your government has had time machines for almost a century. If you really want to know what was running around in possibility at the time, read Jules Verne. It's not far-fetched. Let's go.
It's good.
Well, we got so good last week that we're in trouble now. We'll save it for next week. Everybody will be freshly painted. And I thank you. I'm enjoying these visits. We're getting into some serious, wonderful things to discuss.
Thank you, Commander.
Thank you for being here.
They appreciate that, and I appreciate your remembering them. They're a long way from home, and they're always on guard. Salud.
Salud.